Tonight we're going to look at the story of Jonah. If you want to be turning in your Bible to the book of Jonah. And I am going to be looking for help, primarily from the kids, because they know this story very, very well. And so I have some instructions for the children, if y'all are paying attention. I will be asking some questions. So I want you to raise your hand, and then I will call on you, and then you are allowed to speak. All right? So those are your instructions. And so while the adults are trying to find the book of Jonah, I want anyone to raise their hand and tell me what they know about Jonah. Does anyone know anyone about Jonah? All right, I'm going to go over here. What do you know about Jonah? Okay, he got swallowed up by a great giant fish because he didn't obey God. What else do you know about Jonah? He went to Nineveh eventually. Yes. He rode on a boat. Yes. See, they know the story real well. Reed, what do you know? What's that? All right, so Jonah did die. I got that part. But what was the first part of it? I am deaf. Okay. Very good. Yeah, oh, the worm ate the vine. See how much I need help on this. Okay, does anyone know anything else about Miss Joan? All right, one more. That's right. So he didn't go to Nineveh at first. Instead, he went on a boat. All right. That was a very good synopsis. Who is Jonah? He is a prophet, right? So a prophet is someone who speaks for the Lord. So Mr. Tim read us a passage in 2 Kings chapter 14 where he prophesied to the king that he would be successful, King Jeroboam of Israel. And Jesus also calls him a prophet, and he refers to him in that way. It is interesting that if you read the whole book of Jonah, the fact that he is a prophet is missing in that book. And maybe that is intentional, because in this book, Jonah is not acting much like a man of God. And so I want us to look at this story together, and we are going to learn quite a bit about this man Jonah. Notice in verse 2 what God tells Jonah to do. He says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Okay, so right off the bat, God tells Jonah to arise, in order to word, get up, and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, maybe you should highlight that word great, because that word great comes up quite a bit, especially in this first chapter. Now, Nineveh is a city, a great city, that was not in Israel. And so God is wanting him to go to a city that was an enemy city, and this was a city, capital city of Assyria, right? And so I want you to go to this city and cry out against it because their sin has come up against me. And so how does God feel about sin? All right, children, I need you to raise your hands again if you know this question. How does God feel about sin? All right, Miss Autumn. What's that? Yeah, it makes him angry. Okay, so the sin from Nineveh is crying out to God. And so he's sending his prophet Jonah to go preach against that city. Now, what does Jonah do? Right, we've already answered that question. He goes in the opposite direction to the city of Tarshish. And he flees from the presence of the Lord. And now notice what the Bible says in verse 3. So, because Jonah disobeyed, he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Okay, so notice what direction is Jonah going that the Bible points out. Two times in that verse, right? Jonah is going down, right? And so maybe highlight that word, because we are going to see several times where Jonah is going to continue to go down. And isn't that exactly what happens in our life when we try to rebelliously disobey the Lord? So Jonah, in his mind, is going away from the presence of the Lord. And not only is he doing that, he is paying people to help him do that, right? He pays for his fare to go on this ship. And then everything doesn't turn out exactly as Jonah would have predicted. So in verse 4, notice again the great in this verse. So the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, on into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." All right, so God is causing a great storm, right? A great wind and great mighty storm. And the winds and the waves were so great that what was happening to the boat? Anyone know what is happening to this boat? What's happening to the boat? It's about to break up. And you know what's going to happen to this storm as we continue on to this story? Is it going to get better or worse? Worse. It's going to get worse. So at the very beginning that we see, this storm is so great, it's about to break this boat apart. Okay? And so then we have the reaction of the sailors. Now imagine if you are a sailor and you're on a boat that's about to break up. How would you feel? Would you feel like this is the best boat ride I have ever been on? How would you feel? How would you feel? Scared. That's exactly right. And that's exactly how these grown men who were sailors, that's exactly how they felt, right? They were afraid. And so notice the reaction of these sailors. They were afraid, and so what do you see them doing? Crying out to their God. Remember the command that God gave Jonah at the very beginning? I want you to cry out to Nineveh. We're going to see in this first chapter a great contrast to these, I'll say, pagan sailors who are crying out to their gods, and in great contrast, the prophet of God doing the opposite, right? He is fallen fast asleep down below in the boat. And so they're crying out to their God, and now they are throwing out the cargo. They're throwing out everything that's kind of heavy in this boat, which is going to lighten the boat and hopefully have a better chance of survival. Okay, so then you get the captain of the ship, and he goes down below. And what does he do to Jonah, who was fast asleep? What does the captain do to Jonah? What does he do? Yeah, he says, wake up. And then what does he tell Jonah to do? Cry out to your God, right? Cry out to your God, because perhaps your God will be concerned to us. And so what does that tell us about the gods of the sailors, right? They are crying out to their gods, but nothing has changed. So they go to Jonah and say, cry out to your God, perhaps your God will be concerned about you. And so in verse 7, it says, each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. All right, so we are not exactly sure about casting lots and what that means, but it seems to be kind of a yes or no answer. So kind of think about, is this man responsible? And they cast the lots and they say no. And so they cast the lot several times to figure out who is responsible for this storm coming up and this boat breaking apart. Who's responsible for that? What person on the ship? Hannah. Jonah. Jonah is responsible, right? Because of he's trying to flee the Lord and he's not obeying. And so they cast lots, it falls on Jonah, and then they're trying to figure out everything they can know about Jonah. Where in the world are you from? What kind of people are you from? And I think they're trying to figure out, who is your God? How can we appease your God who is causing this, right? And so we know from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Do you think it was an accident that Jonah was said to be the reason? Or do you think God had a part of that? Let's go with God, right? God was in charge of that. As you will see, really the main character of this book is not Jonah, but is God. And so Jonah is questioned. And then did you notice Jonah's answer in verse 9? I think we learn a lot about Jonah just in this answer. He says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God of heaven. Has Jonah been doing a good job or a bad job of fearing the Lord of heaven? Pretty bad, right? So if he's fearing the Lord of heaven, I think he could be doing a little bit better, right? So we're going to see a contrast to that at the very end of this chapter. But for Jonah, he says, oh, I fear the Lord God of heaven. And what did God do? He said, he made the sea and the dry land. Now, if you're a sailor and you learn the God of Jonah made the sea, does that make you a little bit more scared? If he made the sea, he can do whatever he wants to with it, right? And that is one of the main reasons why they are so terrified. And isn't it interesting that Jonah is trying to flee from the presence of God on the very thing that God made? And he says, I am the God that made the sea. Well, if you're going to hide from God, maybe hide in a place that he didn't make, which would be kind of difficult to do. All right, I saw a hand But I'm gonna keep going on. So look at verse 10. So it says, "Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you.'" All right, and so now the men are really scared because Jonah told them at some point that I am on this ship because I am fleeing from the presence of God. And then they figure out, Jonah, he's the one responsible for this great storm that's becoming even worse and breaking up the ship. You're responsible for all of this. So what do we do? And isn't it interesting that Jonah seemingly calmly says, "Well, just toss me overboard," right? And so did you notice the very beginning of this? God hurled a great storm on the sea, and then a great storm came up, and now Jonah said, "Well, just hurl me off the boat and everything will be fine." That's an interesting answer to me. And it may indicate that Jonah would rather be thrown off the ship than go to Nineveh. He would rather die. If he's thrown off the ship, well, maybe that cancels the plan of him having to go do this terrible thing and preach to those Ninevites. Now, in this chapter, there's a cliffhanger, right? But in this chapter, we are not told why Jonah is just so against going to Nineveh. So we'll have to keep reading this book to figure out that answer. But what did the men do? Notice in verse 12, well, as we continue on, in verse 13, excuse me, "However, the men rowed desperately to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, 'We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased.'" All right, so the men have been told by Jonah, "Just throw me overboard, and this sea will become calm." So it was because of Jonah's sin that these people's lives are in jeopardy, right? And so Jonah says, "Just throw me overboard." Now, maybe their thinking is, this man says he worships or fears this God. What's going to happen to us if we just throw him overboard? How is that God going to respond to us? Probably not too kindly. So what do you see them doing? They are just trying so hard to get to land, and then they can release Jonah, maybe save his life, instead of just throwing him overboard. But what's happening to the storm as kind of what's happening outside in our storm? Is it becoming a little less or a little bit more? More, right? It's even getting worse. It was really bad at the beginning. Now it's even getting even more stormier. All right, so they say, well, they now, in verse 14, called on the Lord. If you notice verse 6 of this same chapter, that is what the captain tried to beg Jonah to do. "Why don't you call on the Lord?" Remember, Jonah is trying to flee from the Lord, and he is being urged, "I want you to call to him." I don't know if he did or not. The text does not say, but who is calling on the Lord? These worshipers of other gods. It's saying, "We're going to do it, but please don't hold this sin on our account." And notice it says, O Lord, you have done as you have pleased. Maybe that would be a good theme of this entire book. What is going on here? Really, what's going on in the book of Jonah is God's will is being done despite what Jonah tries to do, despite what other people try to do. What's the theme of the book? God's will is going to be done. And so that is very key in this book. So in verse 15, you remember what those sailors finally do? They pick up Jonah, and what do they do with him? They throw him overboard into this mighty wind, this mighty storm. And so they pick up Jonah, threw him into the sea. And then what happened to that big storm? I see a little hand. You know what happened to that big storm? What happened? Yeah, the wave got lightly and it stopped, right? Yes, that's exactly what happened to that storm. It stopped as soon as Jonah was thrown into the sea. And then notice what happened to the men in verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord, and there's our word again, greatly. And they offered sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Now, at some point, we'll get to chapter 2 of Jonah, and maybe that's be a good place for us to pick up. But the very end of chapter 1 says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Again, we see the idea of Jonah going down, right? He just continues to go down, down, down in this chapter until the point where he is down into the sea in the middle or in the stomach of this great fish. All right, so notice Jonah's rebellion. That is a prominent theme in this first chapter. In verse 3, he does two things. He purposely fled from God's presence. He financially rebelled against God by paying his way to go in the opposite direction. In verse 10, maybe chronologically, it says that he told others what he was doing. He said, I am fleeing from the Lord, because they knew that. When Jonah said, I'm responsible for this great storm, just throw me overboard. What's Jonah's mindset in verse 5? Remember what he was doing at the very bottom of that boat when everything was chaos outside? He was sound what? He was sound asleep. Seemingly not worried about anything. He was just trying to forget about everything and just on his way to Tarshish. Again, an act of rebellion. He is at peace at his decision. And then finally in verse 17, where did he end up? Due to these terrible decisions. Ended up in the belly of a great big fish, right? Probably, I always think it was a blue whale, but I can't prove that. I just know it was a great fish, all right? Now look at the sailors. These pagan sailors who we understand in this chapter were worshipers of other gods. Notice what happened to them. In verse 5, they were crying out to their gods. There in verse 5. Seems to me that they were devoted to prayer a whole lot more than Jonah ever was. When you are in a difficult situation, when the boat is breaking apart and you have nowhere to turn, what do you see these men doing? Well, they are crying out to their God, saying, perhaps my God will have compassion on me and can do something about my situation. Jonah was the only one seemingly on this boat that knew who the true God was, and what was he doing? He was asleep. He wasn't crying out to the Lord. Maybe even after he was called upon by the captain of the ship, call out to your God. You don't see him doing that until chapter 2, when he finally prays in the belly of this fish. And so they are devoted to prayer. Secondly, they wake up Jonah saying, I want you to cry out to your God. In verse 6, the gods were, they were calling on to help. They weren't doing anything, right? Verse 11, but perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. This implies all their crying out to their gods wasn't doing anything. God was bringing about a great lesson for these sailors. He was teaching them through Jonah who he really was and how powerful and how great he was. It reminded me of another story that the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel was telling all these Baal worshipers, cry out to Baal. And see if Baal will respond to you. And remember what Elijah did? And he said, let's make two sacrifices. Let's see if Baal will come and light on fire your sacrifice. Or let's see which God will win. Well, you have to kind of see that same battle that's going on. They're calling out to all kinds of gods. Which God is going to respond? In verses 9 and 10, the sailors learn that Jonah's God is the one that made the sea. And if God can make the sea, he can do whatever he wants to with it. So they cared more about, they knew Jonah made this God really mad for not obeying him like he should have. And so they already understand Jonah's God is a great and powerful, mighty God. Notice in verse 13, they try to save Jonah's life. Now that's interesting because Jonah is the one that's responsible for them almost losing their lives because of this great sea. And now what was Jonah's command at the very beginning of this book? Go to Nineveh and preach to them. Jonah was not doing the very thing that these men are doing for him. These men, even though Jonah is responsible for their lack of safety, they're trying to save his life. Jonah was not willing to do the same for the people of Nineveh. And then in verse 14, they call on the name of the Lord. In verse 16, they feared the Lord greatly. And in my opinion, they are the only ones on this ship to do that very thing. Jonah said he did, but there was no action behind it. They feared the Lord greatly, which prompted them to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and make vows to the Lord. I like to think that these sailors learned who the true God was and said, from now on, I am going to call and worship and serve this God of the Hebrews, this God of Jonah, who was able to make this great stormy sea and was also to be able to calm the sea. And so you have these believers come because of Jonah's disobedience. But really, one of the things that I really want to power home in this story that may get overlooked is we have the mercy of God. And as I said before, that God is really the primary character. God is the one in control of every situation in this book. God, in the very beginning of this book, is hurting. As was said by a younger person, that sin makes God angry. How often do we forget that fact? Our sin, every time we disobey God, it makes God frustrated. It makes God angry, hurt. So God is hurting because of the sins of the people of Nineveh. Not even his own people. But all sin, any sin, hurts the creator of those whom he created. And so you have God hurting at the beginning of the book. And then how should you treat someone like Jonah, who rebelled against you basically every which way that he could? Do you try to stay with Jonah, or do you go to another prophet and say, well, I hope Jonah learned his lesson. I'm going to go tell so-and-so. I'm going to give you the same mission that I gave Jonah, and maybe you will do the same thing that I want you to do. Really, this fish is the one that saves Jonah's life. And so you have God calling on the fish, this great fish, to save Jonah, because God is sticking with Jonah and really wants to teach Jonah a lesson on it's best to trust and obey, as we had sung. You tell someone something to do and they do the exact opposite. He tells others, I'm disobeying the Lord. I'm trying to flee from the presence of my God. He pays money to do the opposite of what he wanted to do, and yet God saves him anyways. Who are you going to imitate in this story? And if you were to ask the question at the very beginning, now who would you want to imitate, a prophet of God or these sailors who worship other God? My guess is you would go with the prophet. But the more we learn about Jonah, the more we read about Jonah, maybe we're more tempted to obey the other characters, emulate the other characters in this book. And who is in control? I think so many times we like to think, well, I'm in control. The sailors understood. God is the one that will do as he has pleased. We will pick up our story at some point. I'm not exactly sure what point that will be. But I encourage you to go ahead and read through the whole book of Jonah. And really try to look at it through the eyes of who is in control. How God is doing as he pleased, despite all the things that Jonah tries to do. It's a very powerful lesson, a very powerful book. And I think so many times I just looked at it as a kid's story. It's much more than that. And I encourage you to look more deeply at the details of this book. Let's be more like those sailors who understood who God is, and that caused them to call upon him, to worship him, to serve him, to offer sacrifices to him. If there is anyone here who needs to make their life right with the Lord, who needs to change the things in their life, we encourage you to do that now as we stand and as we sing.